When President Bush established a commission to establish ways to achieve America's future in space, he charged them with including an economic basis for their proposals. To this end, the nine commissioners invited three expert witnesses to address the topic space prosperity and resource development. In our last program, we heard the views of John Higginbotham, the chairman of venture capital company SpaceVest. This evening, we have the second of the three as they speak to the commissioners in New York. He is introduced by Chairman Pete Aldridge.
Prosperity and competitiveness is one of the four major themes that we've been addressing. And we're pleased today to have three individuals who will shed some light on how space exploration can contribute to national prosperity and what specific models might be used to stimulate private investment. Joel Greenberg is president of Princeton Synergistics with 50 years experience in a broad range of financial disciplines, including new business planning, financial and cost analysis, market forecasting, systems analysis, and technology transfer and commercialization. What else did you do? Pretty broad. Mr. Greenberg performed financial analysis for a NASA alternative access to space station contractor, as well as regulatory impact analyses relating to space launch and reentry operations. He is the author of numerous publications, including Economic Principles Applied to Space Industry Decisions.
A couple of words about potential benefits. High on the list, we've all stated this in various different ways. I stated it as a potential benefit is the pride resulting from success. But if we don't plan properly, we may end up with utter frustration due to unavailability funds or funds that have been siphoned off for other uses. Also, remember that the pride of the nation, and particularly the education process and the young hoping to go into science curriculum, pride can also be enhanced by achieving other goals. For example, energy independence. Space is important, but we shouldn't forget that there are other things besides space. Now, as far as the other benefits, there are job creation benefits from additional expenditures. And hopefully those expenditures do not cause inflationary pressures. Job creation, however, is short term. Job creation lasts as long as funding lasts from a government program. Now, there are spin-offs that may create other industries and other businesses, but I'm not focusing on those right now. When NASA spends a dollar, that dollar goes to direct labor. It also goes to indirect labor. And it's about a 2-to-1, approximately 2-to-1 impact of a dollar spent by a government agency such as NASA. The same impact, however, is achieved if that dollar is spent in the area of housing, welfare, or environment. In other words, it's an expenditure by the government that is important in creating jobs, and it's not industry agency specific. Talk about technology development and spin-offs for a minute. Technology development can lead to spin-offs and has long-term productivity impacts on the U.S. economy. And if there are going to be large benefits from a Moon-Mars program, it will be in the long-term productivity area. Now, the long-term productivity gains, which can be sizable. There have been all sorts of studies conducted over the years, and I'll come back to this in a minute, but let me quote some numbers for a minute, and then I'll explain why you shouldn't believe these numbers. The numbers range anywhere from a 2-to-1 multiplier to like 40-to-1 multiplier. So there's little agreement as to what the multiplier should be, but it's a general agreement that, yes, there is a productivity gain from investing in R&D. Now, the important point is investing in R&D. The productivity benefits that we get are only related to the expenditures on R&D, not operations, not infrastructure. Now, R&D may not be a very large part of the expenditures in the Moon-Mars mission, so we have to be very, very careful when we try to judge what the productivity gains might be from this program. The technology development and the productivity gains can, as I said, can be lasting and can be have significant economic impacts. And as a result of the new technologies that are stimulated by the space program, and these contribute to the long-term economic growth and increases in the standard of living that are most interest to the health of the economy and to furthering U.S. economic competitiveness. Unfortunately, the numbers that I stated before, one cannot say what specific multiplier is correct, because there is a very weak linkage between formal R&D programs and the changes in productivity and the gross national product. In other words, for example, some of the studies that have been done over the years try to trace through NASA patents and the implications of the NASA patents on new businesses and the growth of existing businesses. So there have been surveys that have been conducted which say that made arrangements to pay licensing fees for this particular patent. What effect has that had on your business? And, there's a product that has resulted from the use of this patent, and our profitability over the years has been such and such, and cash flow has been such and such. It all sounds very, very great. But was that patent the only thing that was important in the creation of the new product? Were there other patents? Was there other technology that didn't require patents? How does one make the linkage between the patent and the business? Very, very weak. I've seen, for example, studies from the FAA which indicate the effect of space transportation on the economy. And they trace it all back to the individual launch vehicles. They say if this launch vehicle, they get such and such a business. But what led to the launch vehicle? It was the ballistic missile program, and it was the achievement of miniaturized gyros in the guidance system. So how can you assign what dollar value industry has achieved and relate it back to a specific program? Very, very difficult. As I say, studies have indicated, though, that there is some form of linkage. It's just that we don't understand what that linkage is, and there is some multiplier. And the multiplier is probably greater than 2 and probably less than 40. But again, it's related only to the R&D content of the program. Next chart, please. It's the last chart. In real estate, it's location, location, location. In the space industry, it's transportation, transportation, transportation. And it's got to be low cost. If we're going to expand the space economy, we have to reduce the cost of space transportation. Now, I have a concern that if not conducted properly, the Lunar Mars mission will develop advanced transportation, but will it be the transportation that will satisfy the needs of industry, communications industry, even in the future, maybe space tourism? But will it be of a form and of low cost that is useful for those other industries? If the transportation part of the program could be oriented to take into account commercial needs and low costs, that would be a significant impact on the commercial development of space. Another concern that I have is the impact of the current planning on the Hubble telescope and other kinds of programs like Hubble. I'm very concerned about not being able to either extend the life of Hubble, which I think it would be most desirable, or to bring Hubble back in a controlled environment. Remember, in a controlled manner. In order to bring Hubble back in a controlled manner, there has to be the funding for another flight, either a manned flight or an adequate robotic flight, to ensure that Hubble can be brought back so that we have a very safe return to the Earth. Have some concerns about the ISS program, particularly with respect to impact on partners, and presumably you'll hear more about that later on. But my concerns have to do with the by withdrawing from the ISS, what effect will it have on our partners viewing us as an unreliable partner? Will they be reticent to participate with the U.S. in the proposed long-term Moon-Mars activity? And I think worldwide participation in that program is absolutely essential. Last but not least, my concern that NASA budgets, before I leave the space station, I also have a concern if the U.S. withdraws from the space station, who will have the responsibility for returning ISS to Earth in a safe manner? I participated in an NRC study where I was responsible for looking at the return of the space station in a safe manner. Even with the current NASA plans, I believe that there are some concerns about it being returned in a safe manner. But who will have that responsibility? Last but not least, my concern that NASA budgets not be increased unless alternative uses of the funds have been carefully considered. In particular, can funds be used wisely for increasing our energy independence? For example, developing infrastructure which is necessary to get people to buy alternative fueled automobiles. Right now, I believe that infrastructure development is significantly lacking.
That was Joel Greenberg with ideas on how the costs versus the benefits of space investment stack up. He is president of a company called Princeton Synergetics. Since he spoke in 2004, the Hubble repair was authorized and actually carried out last year, and decisions were made about the International Space Station, and America is now going to remain committed to it for several years to come. And, well, here we have to leave New York, where we've been attending a 2004 hearing of President Bush's Moon, Mars and Beyond Commission. This ongoing space show series is written and presented by Andrew Rennie. The audio was digitally transferred to Southern FM from the Commission by Alan Walker.